You go on to verse 13, you'll see that Peter reminds them of the future joy of Christians who suffer. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Now, obviously, on that day, when the Lord returns and his glory is declared, that the tables are going to be turned. And the issue will not be, how little can I get away from suffering? The issue on that day will be, how much did you suffer for the Lord?
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and again we're continuing the theme of suffering as a Christian. And today, just to show how it gives us a sense of glory in our souls. That seems a conundrum. That seems an absolute paradox. That something that evil men may do to harm you, the world may do to crush you, and yet it only fans the very flames of joy and praise within your soul. I remember reading a little word in Pilgrim's Progress, where in the house of the interpreter there was this fire raging and raging, even though the water was being poured on it. And the interpreter took Christian around to the other side and showed him another man pouring oil onto the fire. And of course, that's what happens in this world. The world pours cold water to put out our testimony and our name. But God, by his grace, pours in the oil. And the more the opposition, the greater the provision of grace, and the greater the joy which the Christian goes through. Now, I want to read this in the Psalm 18. Here is in practical, real-life terms, where God's servant is in suffering, and yet he is experiencing the comfort which the Lord brings to his heart. Psalm 18, verse 17. He delivered me from my strong enemy, and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Oh, what a sweet thing it is when you're a Christian and you're enjoying the delight of the Lord. And you just know in your soul that you have that favor of the Lord within your heart. Another verse in the same psalm, for thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down high looks. And then verse 30, as for God, his way is perfect. Oh, my friend, this is a restful and a peaceful place to be, just to know in your life that as for God, his way is perfect. And he's leading you in that pathway that is for your good and that will bring glory to his name, however difficult it may be. And the thorns that prick are only to bring the greater joy to your soul. Now, today again, we have Al Smith to sing for us, and I just pray this will minister to your heart.
Men may scale the highest mountain and descend the deepest sea, but no one could ever measure God's great love at Calvary. Love of Christ so pure and tender, love so merciful and free, far beyond all comprehension, the love of Christ for me. Some may try to live without him and his beauty never see. I shall ever sing his praises for the love he gave to me. Love of Christ so pure and tender, love so merciful and free, far beyond all comprehension is the love of Christ.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, and we're turning to our pulpit ministry here today from 1 Peter chapter 4, 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Suffering as a Christian, it seems difficult, doesn't it? It seems, well, this is something that happens in a third world country or in days of Inquisition, days of the reformers and the opposition that the early Christians faced in the Roman amphitheater. But today, every Christian faces affliction and trouble. Every Christian will pay a price for standing up for the Lord Jesus. We must not try to marry the world with the church and marry the ungodly with the righteous. Rather, there is going to be a price to pay and a cross to carry. The Lord Jesus assured us of that. But do stay tuned with us as we come now to our pulpit ministry on this text, 1 Peter 4:16.
What is this? Partakers of Christ's sufferings. When you suffer as a Christian, you are enduring not necessarily the same afflictions, but like afflictions for the same reason. You are the butt of the same enmity and opposition that the Lord Jesus endured. And in that way, you take part in the fellowship of the Lord Jesus. You are on his side. And this is the way that we must walk if we would serve him and enjoy his fellowship with us. Now, Peter, who wrote these words, he knew this truth directly from the Lord. And I'll not get you to turn to it, but I'll tell you about it. In John 21, that the Lord Jesus said to Peter, there's coming a day that you're going to lay down your life for me. And of course, many questions were going up. What exactly is the Lord referring to? And the Lord gave to Peter the heads up that one day you're going to lay down your life for me. Another will carry you about and you will suffer and lay down your life for me. Now, you think of those words coming from the lips of the Lord Jesus right to you. And here they're living in these days of hostility and opposition from various quarters. And he is saying, count it not strange. You see, the Lord spoke to me and warned me that I would have to lay down my life for this gospel that I am preaching, that I would be a partaker of Christ's sufferings. Now, the history on this is not easy to be very certain, but tradition goes a long way to establish that Peter did indeed lay down his life around the year 64 after the burning of the city of Rome, and tradition says that he was martyred, crucified on a cross, upside down. Now again, the history on that is very difficult to document. But here is one record. It comes from Clement of Rome, who wrote about 90 AD. And he said in his letter to the Corinthians, let us take the noble examples of our own generation. Through jealousy and envy, the greatest and most just pillars of the church were persecuted, and came even unto death. Peter, through unjust envy, endured not one or two, but many labors, and at last, having delivered his testimony, departed unto the place of glory due to him. In other words, he died the way the Lord prophesied that he would die. Peter could not run from suffering and serve the Lord, and neither can we. That's the message. Count it not strange to be a partaker of Christ's suffering. We are to rejoice. And if you remember when Paul was converted, that the word through Ananias was, I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, when you take the attitude, as Peter was writing to these Christians, you've got to change your attitude. It's not about how little we can suffer. It's not whether we should suffer. It's a matter that we, to enjoy, to be partakers of Christ's sufferings, we will suffer. And that is the attitude that we adopt, and that becomes the fortitude, the determination, the very steel that makes up the Christian. Now, you go on to verse 13, you'll see that Peter reminds them of the future joy of Christians who suffer. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Now, obviously, on that day, when the Lord returns and his glory is declared, that the tables are going to be turned. And the issue will not be, how little can I get away from suffering? The issue on that day will be, how much did you suffer for the Lord? How greatly did you endure that you might be a witness for the Lord Jesus? You see, every prick of suffering here will be a share in the bank of joy in heaven. And those who suffered much on earth will be the worthies in heaven. If I may take a little word from Hebrews 11, where the apostle says, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. So those who suffer will enjoy a better resurrection. And the argument simply is, it's better to be raised up on the resurrection day than to be raised up from a deathbed on earth, or raised up from the bed of suffering on earth, and there will be future joy. And that is the motivation of the Christian. And so you and I need an eye for the glory that shall be revealed. And that can't be compared. Now, verse 14, I'm just going down this chapter here little by little, picking up what Peter is saying to these Christians about their sufferings. Peter points out in verse 14 the confirmation of a Christian suffering. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. The Spirit of glory and of God. What is this? Well, it's martyr's grace. It's the grace that a martyr receives when he is suffering for the Lord. Let me tell you of a young minister I read of in that book, Alexander Peden the Prophet, a young man called Hugh McKeel. He grew up in a minister's home. He was a son of the manse. He knew the gospel from an early age, And when he was 20 years old, he was licensed to preach the gospel. A verse was written by one of his hearers, and it says, he had beauty which might well endear. No blemish in his body did appear. Some great thing sparkled in the blushing face. Integrity that lovely brow did grace. He was admired. He was looked upon as a young champion for the gospel. This young man, somewhere around 20 years of age, was on his way to Rullion Green, where the Covenanters were holding an outdoor meeting and the Dragoons were hunting them down. Now, Hugh McKeel did not get to that scene, neither the meeting nor the battle, but was stopped on a roadway and found to have a sword in his possession. Thereby, he was arrested and imprisoned. Now, all the pleas of family, friends, and even gentry and well-known ladies that pleaded for his life fell upon deaf ears, because Archbishop Sharp was out for this young man's life because he had preached a sermon where he had referred him to him as the Judas of the church. And of course, he was now out for his blood. He was taken to Edinburgh, where he was incarcerated for a while, and then he was brought out to the gallows to be put to death at Grassmarket in Edinburgh. He was dragging behind his leg that had been put in what they called the boot. It was a form of torture where they put wooden a frame around the leg and foot, and they screwed and drove in wedges until it crushed the bones in his foot and leg. As he was taken out to the scaffold, he dragged that tortured leg behind him, and he climbed up the scaffold. He was heard to say, every rung was a step nearer heaven. And then he gave what was called his seraphic swan song. And these are the words: farewell, father and mother, friends and relations. Farewell, the world and all its delights. Farewell, meat and drink. Farewell, sun, moon, and stars. Welcome, God the Father. Welcome, sweet Lord Jesus, the mediator of the covenant. Welcome, blessed Spirit of grace, God of all consolation. Welcome, glory. Welcome, eternal life. Welcome, death. And there he laid down his life. How could this very young man welcome death? There's no doubt that he was given a martyr's grace. And if you read that text very, very carefully, verse 14, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. That's martyr's grace. And every time that you are reproached, every time that you are opposed for being a witness for the Lord Jesus, you receive something of that glory and that grace that is given to the Lord's suffering people. Now, you'll only get that martyr's grace when you're in the fire of persecution. If you withdraw and run the other way, you will not be given coward's grace. But if you stand up for the Lord, you will be given martyr's grace. And in the afflictions and the trials of life, you will prove God's grace is all sufficient. Let me tell you one more little story about a woman that even Alexander Peden used as an illustration in one of his sermons. He said, there was a poor widow in the countryside as I came through that was worth many of you. When she was asked how she did in this ill time, she answered that she did very well and got more good out of one verse of the Bible now than she did in all lang syne. That was Scottish for in the old days. In the days of persecution, she got more out of one verse of the Bible than in previous times. You see, God gives grace when we're in the fire of trial and tribulation. And you can get that grace too. Whatever you are enduring for the Lord as a Christian, and I do not for a moment negate or take away from the difficulties that many of God's people endure in these times. Sometimes it's loneliness. Sometimes it's just the cold shoulder. Sometimes it's just you're written off as of any use. And sometimes you might even be vilified in word or letter and despised. And it's hard to take. It's hard to take. And you know that I don't settle for that old adage, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Words do hurt. And it's from the lip of the devil, and they're trying to wound you because you are standing up on the side of the Lord Jesus. But in that moment, in that difficult experience, the Spirit of God and of glory resteth upon you. And this is the strange thing, that the day when the world is against us can be our happiest day on earth. The day when we are rejected by the ungodly is the day when the Lord pours in His grace into our hearts. That's what Peter is setting out here in this very verse. And then he goes on to talk about the happiness of the Christian. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. And then down in verse 19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. There it is. And there you see Peter's encouragement, Peter's loving, fatherly, pastorly touch. Beloved, beloved, think on these things. Count it not strange. Now, I don't know what you face tomorrow, Monday morning, through the week. I don't know what the world will try to do to you. But don't count it strange that the world will have no time and indeed oppose your Christian walk. But the Lord will give you His grace, and He'll give you His Spirit. And whatever is in the future for God's people and the Lord's church, the Lord will not forsake us. He will be our portion.
When my life work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side. And His smile will be the first to welcome me. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the print of the nails in His hand. Oh, the soul-thrilling rapture when I view His blessed face, and the luster of His kindly beaming eye. How my full heart will praise Him for the mercy, love, and grace that prepare for me a mansion in the sky. I shall know Him, I shall know him, and redeemed by his side, I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him, by the print of the nails in his hand.
One of the reasons that reproach and affliction comes to the Christian is because we preach. And it is because we bear the message of the gospel that the world really hates that message. And this is the price we must pay, because God has given us a word, he's given us a message, and it is as we preach that word that we will find the hostility of the world. That certainly was true for Noah when he stood up to preach and warn the people. He was despised. It was true for the Lord Jesus when he began his earthly ministry with the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. Then the message was too restrictive and too narrow. It was the same for Paul the Apostle when he began to preach. It was then that they beat him and cast him out of the cities. And so you will find likewise that when you speak up for the Lord Jesus, that you will come under the hostility, the opposition of men around you. But the Lord wants us to speak up. He wants us to be light in this world, and we're not to hide our light, but rather we're to make it known, and we are to use every opportunity to spread the light. You can give out a gospel tract. You can get a CD of a sermon. You can send somebody an email. You can bring them along to the church meeting. You can invite them to the house of God and say, come with me and hear the message of salvation. And in doing so, you will find the Lord will minister to your heart and fill you with the greatest joy. Thank you for being a part of our program today. Stay tuned now for these few closing announcements.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Ian Gallagher. Thank you for being a part of the program, and I trust that the Lord has already spoken and ministered to your heart. If I can be of any personal help, or if you would like to request a CD of this message, or perhaps have some direction on how you can hear this message again on our website, please feel free to be in touch with us here. Our burden is to take God's word, to comfort the hearts of God's people, to encourage those who are seeking to live for the Lord Jesus, and of course to reach men with the message of the gospel. And our messages are from the Bible, from the pulpit of our church here in Cloverdale. We take the sermons of our pulpit ministry and seek to air them day by day on this station, 5 a.m., 5 p.m. And so I hope that you'll be a regular listener. I hope that you will pray much, stand with us here as we let the Bible speak week by week. Now, our church is the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. It's on the corner of 188th Street and 58th Avenue, two blocks north of Number 10 Highway. We would love to have you along at our church services. Sunday school hour, 9:30 for all ages, 10:30 morning service, and 6 p.m. our evening preaching service. We would love to have you here at the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. Come along, join with us for a service, and introduce yourself. We look forward to meeting you and to hear from you. Also, you can join our Victoria Church. We'll give you information of that if you call us on our number here, 604-576-1091, or go to our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca. And again, join us, please, again, as we let the Bible speak.